Well, good morning and welcome to the Monday Recap. My name is Dre Clark. I'm the discipleship pastor here at Grapevine's First Baptist Church. And I am joined with our associate pastor, Jonathan Cook, today. He led us into our series yesterday, starting off in 1 John 1. So Doug kicked us off with an introduction last week, and Jonathan had the very first one in that series today. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. But Jonathan, glad you're here. Would you go ahead and just give a brief summary? So what'd you hit for people that maybe weren't there yesterday, or people that just need a reminder, refresher? What was the main summary of yesterday's message?
Yeah, thanks, Dre. Yesterday morning, not last night, yesterday morning was, it was a great morning of worship. It was a great time together and being able to kick it off into 1 John. It was fun being able to kind of pick up where Doug left off last week, right? He did something a little bit different. He did the introductory, kind of covering the whole book of 1 John. And then I actually got to kick it off yesterday with actually the first verse of 1 John. And so that was cool. So we were able to read 1 John chapter 1 starting in verse 1, but we only covered the first four verses. And so it wasn't a long passage to cover. My three main points yesterday morning was the word of life is manifested in us. The word of life is proclaimed through us. And that the word of life is joyful. And so, being able to kind of talk about how John is writing to the church but it's not in a letter format like he did in 2nd and 3rd John. He's more of writing this homily, this sermon. He's writing really, for me, I receive it as almost like rejoicing with them, saying, hey, listen, like, here's who we all are. I'm here, yes, as an apostle, but I'm also here just simply as a witness of who Jesus is and the goodness of God and how we are here to rally together on the same team. And so kind of kicking that off in those first four verses where, in those first four verses, the three words that really stood out to me was manifest, proclaim, and joy. Mm. And so for me, that was kind of just like the summary of these first four verses is that about this word of life that he's witnessed, which is Jesus, and how that's manifested in us and how we're to proclaim that. Mm. And from that came joy, right?
Yeah, we were talking earlier, John, that it's tricky because you're, whenever you kick off, we're doing an exposition. We're going through the book of 1 John. And whenever you start a series, like, there's just so much, beginning points to, every book of the Bible is a different purpose, has a different point, and it's written by different authors, but yet all oversaw by the Holy Spirit and the singular author of God. But there's all these things that you got to do set up. So it's a little bit informational, but what we're talking about really is these themes are going to be developed over the next several weeks, which is, what is the word of life? Like, what does Jesus come to do? Who is he? And then how does that reality of who he is and what he came to do, how does that play out into our lives against all the other voices, against all the other ideas, against all the other advices in our life? And so, really, really good verses in 1 John 1 through 4, a lot of setup for the series. You had a great task with that and did a good job with it. So I want to ask you next, though, what were some stuff from the sermon yesterday that you would have wanted to maybe go a little bit deeper into? Maybe what was something in the message that you personally wanted to center in on? Did you leave anything on the table? What would you have talked about more?
For me personally, like, whenever I read this passage, the thing that comes to mind the most, like the thing that really just stands out to me, I think it's because of my personality. I think it's because of who I am, how I was raised, was that very last verse, the verse 4, and it says, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete, right? So I think for me, I wouldn't have minded going just really deep into what that completion of joy really looks like in our life. What does that really entail? Yeah. Just because for me, I feel like I'm a naturally joyful person, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember back in seventh grade, actually, there was a girl one time that asked me, she was like, Jonathan, you're always just happy and you're always joyful. Like, why? Like, it's almost annoying,
Yeah.
And at that time, I actually didn't have an answer for it. I just laughed, I think. I was just like, I don't know. Like, I'm just naturally a happy person, And over time, though, of course, I've gained a better response and being like, well, my joy's in Jesus, But that's because I'm able to proclaim him. I'm able to have him in my life. I'm able to fellowship with others that are other believers, able to fellowship in him. And because of that, I've had this natural radiation of joy, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, naturally I wanted to just kind of focus in on verse 4, but I knew with it being more introductory to the actual verses that I was like, okay, hold on, I need to look at the first four verses, not just verse 4.
Yeah.
And so for me, I felt like I could have just gone way off the rocker with what it means that the word of life is joyful, right? Yeah. And what that means in our life, and how we can live in knowing that we have the Savior of our life that has a relationship with us, that's protecting us, that is guiding us, that's leading us, and that we get to proclaim that to others. We get to have this witness in our own life of who Jesus is in our own life, and seeing how the Holy Spirit has moved in my life and how the Holy Spirit has worked in my family and throughout my entire life. And because of that, I can have these blessings. Because of who Jesus is, I can have this eternal joy.
Yeah,
and
I love how you're mentioning too. I mean, in the text, the two sources of joy, right, are there's joy that comes from my vertical relationship with the Father, but there's also a joy that comes horizontally with people around me in my life. And I think that sometimes, you know, we kind of have this idea of joy of, I'm just being satisfied in my relationship with God, but my life sucks. Like my relationships, like maybe that's not where they're supposed to be. But I got joy because I'm with God. Or vice versa, man. I've got lots of good friends, but I'm missing that spiritual component. But true joy, the true Christian life, and that's part of the purpose of this first section for sure, is that no, like once you get it right with the Father, and then you get it right with others, you know, trust in God and love others, like that's the source of our joy, and that is the essence of the Christian life, and that is the way that God's designed us to walk.
Yeah.
So I really love that. That's what complete joy looks like. I've got the up and down, I've got the side to side. Really good point.
And I talked about that yesterday a little bit in the way of, you know, John, wherever he's writing this letter, his end goal is not joy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
John's end goal is not joy. His goal is to serve the King. His job and passion and calling in life is not to be joyful, but instead to be a witness of the One, of the Word of Life, right? But because of that, he's able to have this emotion, this happiness, this joy. And joy comes in all sorts of different ways. Joy is not just an emotional reaction of being happy. You know, you can see joy in all aspects of life. So for me, I felt like I probably could have spent 30 minutes just talking about verse 4 alone.
But you're right. If you get verses 1 through 3, then joy is the byproduct. That's what you just said, of verses 1 through 3. So emphasizing that in verse 1 through 3, all about who Jesus is and what he's come to do. So really good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to close with one more question for you, Jonathan. So the whole passage, if people that are just listening to, if you need a reminder, 1 John 1 through 4, it's really this idea of that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked. It's this, and the that is really a who. It's Jesus and the Word of Life and what Jesus has come to do. That right there has been handed to the apostles, and then the apostles are now handing this down to the readers. So that's really what you're seeing in the beginning part of this letter, is this transition, this proclamation of what really happened in the person and life of Jesus that's moved down to the readers, and then now is handed even to us today, 2,000 years later. So I just want to ask you really practically, you know, Jonathan, you've been doing ministry for a while. You've been student world. You've worked in several capacities at different churches. But how do we today, how do we take this message that was, you know, from the apostles to the people, now to us, and how do we practically hand that to our culture, whether it's in our workforces, whether it's in our families? Like, what are some good ways, better ways that we proclaim? Or is it just that we go out there and, you know, have a track? I mean, is that all that this is? You know, just a real pragmatic question. How do we proclaim? How should Christians today proclaim? You know, what are better ways? What are worse ways? How do we take this message?
So I'm going to tell a short story real quick, okay? One day I was down in Fort Worth at the Sundance Square, and I was down there with my wife. We were down there on a date night. And whenever we were down there, we were walking around, and there was a guy standing in the middle with a big sign that said, "You are headed to hell," right? And he has a microphone out, and he is just shouting out scripture, and he is, in quote, proclaiming the Word of Life, you know? And man, he was being loud, right? And kept walking around, and there was a guy that walked up to me, and he walked up with an iPad. And he said, "Hey, we're taking a survey." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And he was like, our survey is to ban the Bible." And I was like, "What?" He was like, "We are trying to get as many signatures as possible." So not a survey, a petition.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
He was like, "We're doing a petition." He was like, "We want to ban the Bible." And I was like, "Okay." He was like, "So we're seeing if we can get your signature today." I was like, "Hey, listen, let me tell you what. Will you and the guy over there with the sign screaming?" I said, "Will y'all just go entertain each other?"
That's right.
I said, "Because you're going to do everybody a lot more healthiness if y'all just go talk to each other and distract each other from everybody else around you." And so for me, you know, they both were causing some harm. Yeah. Okay. The guy out there screaming at everybody, they're headed to hell. I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, for me, that's probably not, whenever I hear proclaim, and yeah. I think certain people hear proclaim the word, they think that they need to go do that.
Yeah.
Right? For me, it's on a more practical level. Mm. I'm sure through screaming you're headed to hell at people, I'm sure there's some people that have come to Christ through that, okay?
Yeah, sure.
God
sure.
works in miraculous ways. For me, though, that's not what I think of whenever I think proclaim. For me, that is gaining relationship with people, getting to know them, and living out a life of truly serving Christ, right? Mm. That is being bold in witnessing. That is being bold in sharing, right? In order to witness, that's through your actions, but that's also through your words. And so it's having those conversations with the people around you. It's being bold in your faith, and God's going to allow people to come into your life that He has placed there for you to share the good news and the word of life into. Yeah. And so proclaiming the word of life is through your action, one, of how you live and the people around you and how you serve and how you love Jesus well through how you love others. Mm. But then also by being a voice though as well, yeah. right? But I'm a big believer that you have to have relationality in order to be able to really speak the word of life into somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
need to get to know them. So that's where then you can share the word of life with them.
I mean, you hit on this a little bit yesterday, but one of the main themes in 1 John is this idea of abide.
Yes.
What does abide mean in 1 John? Well, it means you believe in the Son, and it mm-hmm. means you go love one another as Jesus did.
Yes.
I mean, and so it's word and deed. And, yes. if we err on either side of that, then we're not really proclaiming it well.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do. We have people that say, oh, you just got to love people, and they have all the deed, but no word. Or you have people that have all the word and no deed. And so, yeah, I think it's living both those out and abiding in Christ and then being in the spheres of influence that God has placed you in is key. I want to say, too, I just my comment on people who yell out with megaphones. You know, I think the Bible, I don't know if me and Doug said this the other day, but the Bible is not a book about how to get to hell.
Right.
It's a book about how to find life.
That's right.
And that really is what we see. In 1 John, it's we're proclaiming this message of here's where the life's at.
Yes.
It's pointing to Jesus, going towards Him. And so I think that's the big message. I think you captured that well with our introduction of the book and your message yesterday. So thanks so much. And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us. So hope you join us again next Monday for another recap as we cover what we talked about on the Sunday message. Hope you have a good day. See ya.